Welcome to the UP Notable Books Club, brought to you by the Upper Peninsula Publisher and Authors Association. Julie Buchholz lives in Brimley, Michigan with her husband Larry and canine companions. They are officially empty nesters. Buchholz earned her bachelor's degree in education and master's in early childhood education from Central Michigan University. Julie has been in education in some form or another for much of her career. She currently works at Lake Superior State University. In her free time, she enjoys walking the shores of Lake Superior, making jewelry from items she finds along the beach, reading, writing, eating a really good dessert, creme brulee is her favorite, and practicing yoga.
All right, my name is Victor Volkman, and I am the current president of the Upper Peninsula Publishers and Authors Association, and thank you for joining us today. I will first talk a little bit about what's going on with UPPAA, or UPA as we call it. We are currently collecting stories for the 9th edition of UP Reader. So if you like to write short stories or poems or even reminisce about crazy things that you did when you were a kid, which is my favorite thing to read, we encourage you to head on over to uppaa.org, that's upa.org, and click on the benefits of membership. We have lots of things going on. UP Reader is just one part of it. Every May, we have the spring conference in Marquette, which is lovely, all included with your membership for the low, low price of $3 per year. We sponsor lots of programs for children. This year, we had the first ever Young Writers Storytelling Workshop, which we're going to continue to provide next year. We're already making plans for it. And of course, the Dandelion Cottage Short Story Contest, where young writers get to compete from grades 5 through 12 all over the Upper Peninsula for cash prizes and great stuff. And it costs nothing for children to participate. That's just a couple of the things that we do here at uppaa.org. Now, tonight, I am very delighted to have with us Julie Buchholz, who is the author of Who Am I? A UP Notable Book Award winning book. And she is going to start off with a little presentation, read us the book, and then she's going to talk about her background and how she came to write the book, and we'll ask her lots of questions. So welcome, Julie. Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Victor. And everyone, I was dumbfounded actually to find out that my book was on the notable list, and I was just so honored. And I've always kind of dabbled in writing, to be honest, but I was really busy raising kids and a family and everything else, and kind of put everything on the back burner. So I have a PowerPoint. I don't know if people do PowerPoints, and normally I'm very well organized and do my background information, but life's been crazy. So I don't know if typically people do PowerPoints. This is kind of what I do when I go into the schools and in communities, just so you learn a little bit about me. I probably won't go through the whole thing, but it does have my story within it. Does that sound okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. All right. And feel free, feel free to ask questions and, interrupt. I'm very informal, so all right. Great. So I'm transferring over my PowerPoint presentation for fall, so you can be my editors. I know you'll all be really good if you see some mistakes, because I haven't had a chance to really vet it yet. But I always entitle my presentation, Who Am I, as well, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about me. I start, though, I always begin with honoring my native heritage. So, Ani, Buju, hello, Julie Buchholz, Indigenous, I am Julie Buchholz, Ganujikani and Ndojiba, and I come from, or my home is, named Place of the Pike, which is a really great name for Brimley. My husband is an avid fisherman and hunter, and he actually catches a lot of pike and walleye and a lot of other fish, so it's a very fitting name. And then Megizi Idodane. I am part of the Eagle Clan, and I am a proud member of the Bay Mills Tribe of Chippewa or Ojibwe Indians, and I'm really proud to be Native American. Although I am mistaken for Italian when I travel, for whatever reason. So I have the opportunity to travel all over Michigan, and I always like to explain kind of where I live, and I won't go through everything with you, but that middle picture is my beach. So I was the lucky. I like to say I was the favorite child, where I inherited my grandparents' property right on Lakeshore Drive, and it's been in my family for probably 60, 70 years now. And I love traveling, but that beach and Lake Superior runs through my blood, and it is my absolute favorite place to be in the world. This is my family. There's me in the center with my mama, my very own mama, and that was at my book launch back in, I guess, 2023. My husband has the big fish there. I told you that's proof. That he is a fisherman, and that Ganoush Conning is actually a really good name for where I come from. And then these are my siblings here and my wonderful stepsons. And these are my twin boys that are 24, which I can hardly believe. And my daughter Sydney is an artist and she attends MSU. And then I never can leave out my fur babies. So I'm a huge animal lover. That's Poa Jean, my pug, who is 11. And then Poppy Lou is that one in the middle, and she's a little stink pot. She rules the house. And then this is Patty, and my son, when he was a senior in high school, my big old boy, he's 6'4", not really excited about anything, but he volunteered at the animal shelter, and he came home one day, and he's like, "Mom, Mom, we have to adopt her." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, honey, you're a senior, you're leaving." But and she's a pit bull, so I was always kind of a little leery, you know. But we adopted her, and she's the biggest baby and a huge joy. So anyhow, I'm not going to go over that, but when I travel in schools, I always like to show kids, you know, see if they can pick out who I was in second grade, just to prove. I know I'm old now, but once I was in second grade, and I always like to show them, you know, I always like to ask kids, how many of you are authors and illustrators? And, you know, some of them will raise their hand, and I tell them, all of you raise your right hand for being an author, and all of you raise your left hand for being an illustrator, because we all have stories to tell. And when I was in second grade, this was one of my stories. And it's just to show kids that, you know, from a very early age, we all have stories to tell. And so I like them to kind of see that as well. And I also always encourage to write about things you're passionate about and things that you love, because I think that's when you do your best work. One real perk about being an author, it, for me, is that I get to promote my native heritage. And so when I was a little girl, I'm one of these two little girls here. Do you think I'm the girl on the left or the girl on the right? Put your hand on your head if I'm the girl on the right. Okay, you're right. You're right. I am the one on the right. I'm there with my cousin Una, and we are wearing what's called our regalia, which I'm sure many of you know, but when you travel, not everyone knows that. And then this was my grandfather, William Duncan Cameron, and I was really close with him. His nickname was Doc Bill, and he was given that name because it was said that he had healing powers. And here he is wearing his regalia. And back in the 70s, he was welcoming one of the first ships to come through the locks for that particular season. So when I travel, I always talk about how regalia is not to be confused with a costume. Costumes are wonderful, something we wear, you know, when we dress up and pretend to be something or someone we're not normally. But regalia is something where we're celebrating who we are as a people, as Native people. And so you would never want to call regalia a costume, because some Native people would find that to be offensive. So who am I? You know, it's not my first book per se, but it is my first published book. I've always enjoyed writing, and I've used to write little stories to entertain my kids, or just for fun. Didn't really do much with them because I didn't have the time, but this is my first published book. And I always like to say the how of my book. It would never have happened if I didn't make the time, right, to put my thoughts to paper. And so, you know, it's so important that if you want to be good at something, and you guys, you find people know that, just, you know, whether it's riding a bike or juggling or basketball, whatever it is, I always say you have to practice. And it's like that with writing. The more you do it, the better you get at it. So, and I want to tell you how the book actually came to be, because it was a fluke and the stars aligned for me. I was just doing a simple Google search, looking for a potential publisher for other things that I had written. You know, I'm an empty nester now. And I thought, okay, well, now it's time to do something for me. So I was just doing a search. I stumbled upon Sleeping Bear Press out of Ann Arbor. And I was drawn to them for a couple reasons. Well, they were Michigan based. I knew of some of their titles because I used to be a teacher. And at the time, my son was a student in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan. So it was like a sign. I felt like it was all these signs. So I was looking at their website. They were having a contest. And I read the criteria. Nothing I had already written met the criteria. You wanted to promote diversity and, you know, had to be a certain number of words and age group. And so I honestly thought about it for maybe a month and a half, 2 months. What would I write? What angle? What lens? And I thought about it when I was, you know, walking the beach or driving in my car and probably at work, which I can say right now, no one's here. And so when I finally sat down, I actually had formulated the characters and the story in my brain. And I wrote it in one sitting, which was crazy to me, but it just kind of poured out of me. So I wrote it. Then I would go back and edit it. And I would look at it. And I did that for maybe another month, month and a half, and shared it with a couple people. And then I just said, okay, I think it's good enough. And I submitted it. And I actually forgot about it. So, and the contest was called Our Stories, Our Voices. And so, whoop.
Our Stories, yeah.
There we go. These were the emails. I actually like to show the emails. So this was when I first submitted, and I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I had to look at how do you even submit something, right? So you have to do the word count, and you have to explain who you are, and all of that good stuff. And 4 months passed. So that was in March of 21. We were all busy with COVID and, you know, had a million Zoom meetings. And I will never forget this moment in my life, because this email pops up. And it was from Sleeping Bear Press. And I started to read it and, you know, oh, you know, we had lots of quality submissions. Thank you. And I thought it was going to be thank you, but no, thank you. But they said, oh my gosh, you're the grand prize winner. And this is why, you know, we like your book. And I shook, I just shook in tears. I was sitting all by myself. Tears just began to fall and I shook. And the only other time that's happened is when I found out I was pregnant with twins. So it was one of those, you know, moments I was just like, holy smokes. So oftentimes people ask me, you know, why did you write this story? And I get a little teary on this one because, you know, I wrote this book for this little girl right here. And I don't know if you can tell, but that was me. That was me. And I was in first grade. And it seems like for picture day, I always wore a hand knit something, from my grandma, whether it was a dress, a jumper, there I had a nice little vest. But when I was that little girl, and we read a lot, lots of stories were read to me, and I read as well. None of the characters really looked like I did. You know, they never did. It didn't honor really my native heritage. I was raised like very European because my mom was actually born in Austria, and my grandmother. But my dad's native. And so, you know, I was exposed to lots of the European lifestyle and the arts. And then my grandfather was kind of my native link. But anyway, when I was a little girl, the characters didn't look like me. And then it is so just rewarding to see these kiddos here read my book. And these are my three babies here. And then just, I don't know, it was last month at the Sugar Island Powwow. I was vending because I have a couple hobbies. I make jewelry too, out of things I find along Lake Superior, and I always sell my books too. I just happened to glance up at the right exact moment. And this beautiful family was looking at my book, and I grabbed my phone and I clicked a couple pictures. And it brought tears to my eyes. And I had a lovely conversation with them and got permission, of course, to use their pictures. But so that's the why of my book. And then, you know, when I travel to schools, I always, you know, I want to honor my Native heritage, but I think there's a lot of misconceptions about Native people, just that we're a thing of the past. You know, they think of cowboys and Indians or, you know, different time periods. And so even though Native population is prevalent around this area, it really isn't. You know, Native people account for what, 1 to 2% of the population across the United States. And so, I remember even traveling, like when I was a girl and I'd be traveling to these places and people were always amazed, like by my skin color, you know, oh, you have such beautiful skin. And they would never know, they didn't understand who Native Americans were. So really important for people to know Native Americans are alive, we're well, we're thriving in all fields. And then the other thing, it's really a journey for me. It's a luxury. I'm 52 years old now, and it's a luxury that I'm on this journey where I get to discover more about myself. You know, when I was a little girl, I was more immersed in the Native culture through my grandfather, and I would go to community events and powwows and things. And then as I kind of grew up a bit, life got busy once again, and I kind of pulled away. So it's almost like I'm coming home now. And it's really beautiful. The more I learn about my culture, it aligns with who I am, like truly aligns. And it makes so much sense to me. And I've had really wonderful things happen to me. So it's a journey for me. And then, you know, people often ask, like, how did you think of the characters? Well, the characters are actually me. Both of them are. But they're me at different points in my life. So they are me when I was a little girl. So one main character is a little brown skin girl, and I see her as me when I was that age. And then the other character is Big Brown Mama. And my nickname in my household is actually Big Mama. That is my nickname in my household. And so I do see myself actually as Big Mama as well. So are you ready for me to read it now?
Yes.
Okay, so who am I? Written by me, Julie Buchholz, and my illustrator is the wonderfully talented Toronto-based artist, Aaliyah Gare, and she is amazing. Who am I? Asked the brown-skinned girl. Her big brown mama pulled her close and replied. And I gotta move this over, I apologize. Can you see the little screen thing? Like with all of you. Oh, I'm sorry. Should I minimize that?
That's good. That looks great here.
Oh, okay. All right. I apologize. You are the wind that scatters moving seeds across the field, providing nourishment for our people. You are the rain that falls, quenching the thirsty land, allowing new life to grow. You are the fire that burns, dancing flames of red and orange, fending off the darkness. Who am I? Asked the brown-skinned girl. You are the eagle that flies, soaring above the mountains, connecting us to our ancestors. You are the sun that shines, warming the earth, coaxing our brothers and sisters from slumber. You are the star that twinkles, brightening the midnight sky, bringing light and lending guidance. And this picture reminds me, I have fond memories of actually as a child and an adult, but where I live in Brimley, you know, there's not as many neighbors. So when you look up at the sky, it looks like there's more stars than anywhere else in the world. And I know that's not the case, but it certainly looks like that to me. Who am I? Asked the brown-skinned girl. You are the oak tree that stands, serving as anchor, offering safety and shelter. You are the river that bends, winding and twisting, guiding along its path. You are the wild rose that grows, blooming in the spring, coloring the world with beauty. And I'll let you in on a secret. So my daughter's middle name is Rose. It's Sydney Rose. And I wanted to honor her, so I put that in there. Who am I? Asked the brown-skinned girl. You are the moon that glows, waxing and waning, marking the passage of time. You are the snow that falls, blanketing the ground, protecting the soil and plants below. You are the wolf that howls, crying at the moon, telling the story of our people. While Big Mama held her little brown girl close, little brown girl listened. Slowly, little brown girl's eyes grew sleepy. Her mouth curved into a smile. I am the wind that scatters and the rain that falls. I am the fire that burns and the eagle that flies. I am the sun that shines and the star that twinkles. I am the oak tree that stands and the river that bends. I am the wild rose that grows and the moon that glows. I am the snow that falls and the wolf that howls. Kids always like that part. The little brown girl suddenly realized that she was not so little after all. Now, when I'm traveling and reading this, I always say this next page, I always make everyone put your arms up and wiggle, 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 and shake, 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 and wiggle, 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 and shake, 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 and put your listening ears on. So these are the most important words from me, the author. The little brown girl's final thought before she drifts off to sleep is the understanding of how she is connected to all of the animals, to all of the plants, and the organisms on Mother Earth. Do you know that you too are connected? In fact, we are all connected to one another and to this wonderful planet we call home, or Mother Earth. And it is our job to take care of Mother Earth, just as you would take care of yourself. Doing so will allow future generations to be safe, happy, and healthy. And that is it. All right.
Wonderful. So,
and I will get, I'll stop my sharing for that. Let's see. I will stop share. There we go. Thank you for listening.
It was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much.
Love hearing you read it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice. Well, I enjoy, it's really funny actually. So I haven't read that story in a little while. I have been busy with my second book. And after we're done talking tonight, I want to give you a sneak peek. So I've been very absorbed with, I just finalized the manuscript and I got my sketches already. So I actually haven't looked at my Who Am I in a little while. So today was a first day. So in a while. So are there any questions? Or I know I talk a lot, so I may, maybe I answered them.
This is just a comment, but I really like the second half because the little girl is having a peak experience of being one. And that's something that only happens, I don't know, to many people a few times in a lifetime.
Yes. I had a really wonderful, actually, my bag is here with me. I had a school in Winnipeg contact me, and this is, I've been able to reach out to schools and be kind of pen pals and emails, but a school in Winnipeg actually used Who Am I as a platform, and they used it all semester and they created their own book, and it was called Who We Are. And it was so good. And it was just so beautiful where they really reflected on who they were as individuals, and so powerful. And it, it just, I can't stop smiling about that. So very rewarding.
I'd like to say,
if I could ask, where exactly is Brimley? I'm not familiar. Is that near Marquette?
No. Are you familiar with Sault Ste. Marie? The Sioux Locks?
Not
I'm
really.
I'm west of Sault Ste. Marie would be, and I'm trying to think. I'm a couple hours from Marquette. Is it 2.5-ish, 3, depending on how fast?
You can park right over your right shoulder.
Yeah.
So you're in Marquette?
No, my grandparents were from Houghton. I'm actually in the Detroit area. And by the way, I was able to find your book, no problem, at my library. I thought, am I going to have a hard time finding your book? It was no problem. So you must have your book at a lot of the libraries.
So I've learned something. I've learned a lot of somethings. I've learned how important it is. You know, I didn't know. First off, Sleeping Bear Press, Cherry Lake Publishing, they're wonderful professionals. They're so great to work with. And it's a true collaboration. Oh, I don't know.
Uh-oh.
Do I stop share? Stop share. There we go. I'm not sure. There we go. That was weird. Anyway, I was told how fortunate I am that it was a true collaboration with my editor and me, and then even the illustrator. And my editor was really good about honoring, making sure that I was okay with every step of the way, from pictures and every little word. And I guess it's not always like that, I'm told. But one thing, when you go with a smaller publisher too, and they do have people, you know, to promote, but not like probably a bigger publisher. So I know I've done a lot of, I'm glad I'm organized, because I made a website early on. I had little cards done up promoting my book. I've done a lot of self-promotion. And then even with my job, I work for Lake Superior State University, and we authorize schools throughout Michigan, and I evaluate academic performance. So I travel to different areas, especially I'll be kicking that off soon in the fall through almost December. And I weave in my visits. And I also sent out a bunch of books to tribal communities, Kamala Harris, Governor Whitmer. I mean, I wrote letters. I promote. So I've learned you have to promote yourself. No one else is going to do it unless you have an agent, and I don't have time to do that, right? This is a hobby. But you do have to promote yourself is what I've learned. So I think I've been really fortunate, Donna, where I was able to really spread the word. I think I got lucky too, but I've worked at it too and promoting myself. So, and lots of free copies sent out, right? With letters.
It's such an appealing book that, you know, anyone who, here we go. Anyone who sees it, you just want to pick it up. Aww. It's, you know, the illustrations are gorgeous and the title is perfect. And what person in the world hasn't thought, you know, at every age, from a child to me, grandmother.
Yes.
Not a great grandma yet, but who am I? What am I?
And I get that, Sue. People walk by my booth and hustle. And, you know, a lot of gentlemen or ladies will be like, who am I? I don't know. Who am I?
Yeah.
Like, well, that's a good question, isn't it? And I think
universal.
It is universal. Like, no matter your age or gender or any of that, I think it applies. And even though I wrote it from a Native lens, it applies to all of us as people.
Oh, yes.
For sure.
Oh, yes. And, you know, a lot of us in the Upper Peninsula are mixed. And so what happens is one side of your family sometimes gets ignored. For me, it was my grandpa saying, oh, no, we're French. Oh, no, we're French.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you just go, and he wasn't lying.
Yeah.
It's just that we're not going to talk about this. This isn't good. You know, and I was born in 1950, so that was quite a long time ago. But, you know, you grow up and part of you doesn't know who you are.
Yeah. And, you know, even so my dad's Native. And at that point, that was still the residential school. And that was also where people didn't want to be Native. They were ashamed to be Native, and they would say they were just about anything else but Native. And now I like to think that times have changed, where there's more pride, there's more Indigenous pride, and just more acceptance for all people, really, which is a great thing. I think we still have a ways to go, but I think we're making some headway.
It's just, I remember when I was a kid that it was a little bit of an embarrassment when you were in the lower Michigan to admit you were from the Upper Peninsula.
Oh, yeah.
And now people in lower Michigan say, well, I'm kind of a Youper because I've been there 3 summers in a row. You want to be a Youper, you're a Youper. Come on up.
And you know what? There's the people vacation here all the time because they want to be Youpers because it is such a beautiful place.
No kidding. I have to say, my mom's family is from Brinley. So I was, as a child, I spent a lot of summers on my aunt and uncle's land in their farm. And we used to lay out and look at the stars and collect fireflies. It was fun.
It is. It's wonderful. You know, there's no place like it. You know, I like to travel and I'd like to travel more. But I'll tell you what, once I cross the bridge, I exhale. Every time I just sigh and I'm like, not that Detroit's nice too, Donna, and I do travel in your area. There's some really great reasons for leaving or for living downstate as well. But for me, I'm a country girl at heart, I think. So,
well, I would like to say something about how gorgeous the illustrations are. And to me, this is just a book that, you know, the cover art is so important to me. And to me, this is something you could leave out in the middle of the winter and just look at that. And it's like you have hopefulness and you could just leave that out. It's like, oh, that's, you know, that's what we get to look forward to. It's just such a gorgeous book, and it unfolds in such a beautiful way. I don't know if you intended it to unfold as a poem, but it really does. It is just so gorgeous.
Yeah, I honestly, Lisa, I don't know when I sat down. I don't know if it's just like that's kind of how I write. I think I'm still learning that. But it just turned out kind of lyrical that way. I don't know. It just it
kind of, so many children are, but you know, a lot of them are poetry. So, but this was just so beautiful.
Oh, you know, well, thank you. I appreciate that so much. Thank you. Nina, did I meet you?
Yes.
I remember you so much, yes. Nina. And yes, I knew when I saw your name come up. It's so nice to see you again.
Yeah. I met you at Gun Lake Tribe.
Gun Lake. That's exactly. Right. In fact, that was Nina. That was one of my first readings. So I've come a long way, lady, since then. But yes, I remember.
Yeah,
I'm learning awesome. More Ojibwe, so hey, I feel good. So,
oh yeah, right. And I told Julie when I met her that I actually lived next door to her grandma. We lived in a trailer right on
Lake Grandma Ava. Yes,
and Ava, your grandma was such a, and grandpa, they were such beautiful people. So kind.
They were
so wonderful people. Such wonderful people. And Julie, I'm so proud of you, what you've accomplished. You know, just personally, I am started in my late age writing stories, and I haven't got much published yet, but it is so important. This book is so important and it's so well written. I love the illustration. I love the story and the message. I remember when I was in ninth grade, and I remember when they were getting to the part in history about the Indians, and I couldn't wait. And we got to that part and it was one paragraph, and all of it said was talked about the Indian Wars, and it was all over. Yeah. And so what do I do with that? You know, that wasn't that long ago. And so this is so important about who I am, because we didn't have people to help us with that. And there was so many feelings by our parents and grandparents, like you talked about, because of their experiences. They couldn't talk about it. They didn't know how to talk about it and how to fit that in, because they wanted us all to get along.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, bravo. You.
Oh, thank you so Madge, it's so nice to see you again. I knew I recognized that face.
Well, I had to come tonight to meet you again and to listen to you, because it's so inspiring to me to listen to you talk about writing.
Yay. Well, Nina, there's no reason you can't be here next year then. Really? Like, there's no reason. I believe that, you know,
yeah.
I always do something. I always say this when I travel too. I do something each year that scares the hell out of me, professionally usually, or even personally, but I always like to do something that pushes me out of my comfort zone a bit.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe you fail, but sometimes you don't. And that's how you grow. And yeah. So I like to, you know, I like to do that a little bit and push myself and try new things, because I think it's important as a person. So I think you can do it.
Yeah.
Yay. I know you can do it, actually.
Thank you. And I'm so it's so wonderful that you're on tonight. Love it.
Oh, well, I'm honored to be here. You know, I'm laughing at myself as I'm chatting with you, because I'm just thinking of all the promoting. And I said how important that is. When Jill Biden was here, I sure made sure she got one of my books too. Like, I find ways, you know, you slip that there, you know, where people and, oh, they're going to be meeting with Jill Biden. Well, here's a book for her. Here's one for the, you know, first lady. So I've learned how important that is, and to take a chance, right? Like that. You have to do that. So Nina, I challenge you, my friend. Does anyone else have any questions for me?
I do. How did you work with your illustrator, Julie?
So she sent me like sketches, mock-up sketches, essentially. Okay. And they were black and white.
Okay.
And then, so this, when I talk about the collaboration, and I guess how fortunate I did, I was very naive. So I was very, Aaliyah was very open to what I had to say. So originally the illustrations were tropical, very tropical looking, okay. And they were beautiful.
Okay.
And I said, Aaliyah, you know, it was kind of through the design team, through Sleeping Bear Press, they communicated this. And it was really important to me that it was northern, that the plants were northern, that there were beaded earrings to represent modern native, that there were moccasins. I sent color swatches. I changed, you know, there was a horse in it originally. And I said, well, it really needs to be a bear, Mukwa, very important. You know, there shouldn't be an owl in it. There's all these things. Wild blueberries. I sent so much stuff. And my illustrator was very gracious in incorporating everything I asked and more. So she really edited things. She had the base, but then I sent things and she would make those modifications. But she did it. She used a giant iPad. They're digital illustrations.
Okay.
So it was actually easier for her, you know, to make those modifications.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the book I'm working on right now, which I will be showing you shortly, I just got the rough sketches. And my illustrator is named Farron Hughes, and she's done like 12 books. She's a watercolor artist.
Oh.
But we still have that. And like I said, I haven't worked with other publishers, but I just had a meeting with my editor and we go through everything, the pictures, the everything. And I give my opinion on everything. Right. Like, you know, and I'm so blessed because it's a true collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And I am told that's not always the case.
It is not.
And that there can be this disconnect. So I hit the jackpot working with Sleeping Bear Press. And Sarah Rocket, who's my editor, greatest name ever, she's been amazing. So, yeah, I mean, you would know more than I do, Sue, on how that normally plays out.
Yeah, it's so different. I did write a chapter book for middle readers to sixth grade in local publishing. It was... Anyway, a Michigan publisher is no longer alive as a publisher.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, a Traverse City artist worked, and we actually got together physically. I went down to Traverse City.
Nice.
And that helped a lot. It was about a little boy with diabetes. So there were medical issues that we had to be right about. And so those were problems. But with books for adults, it's just cover art.
Yeah.
And we did have some unhappy, I did have some unhappy experiences. The hardcover is generally okay, but one had a, which one was it? Brother went in the third book. The woman who was the main character, they put her face on it and it was so ugly. And my husband got on the phone. He said, she's as ugly as a thumbprint.
Oh my
God. Have this on the cover. It's terrible. And they were not happy, but they drew a new face. And also she was at the back of the ikkyu. And that's the primary paddler. Well, she wasn't the primary paddler. So we had had a big argument about, is she going to be front or back?
It was, is it Kin? Kin?
Yes, yes.
I read all those books. So I loved it. I've read them actually a couple times. So I know that's.
So we had a big, those were tough. We had switch publishers from Doubleday to William Wallace, and there were commotions. But paperback of Mother of Father's Sky was the worst because I said, oh my goodness, we have a girl in a Ojibwa birch bark canoe wearing a Lakota outfit. And, you know, and there's a guy from medieval England on the beach. But they wouldn't change that one for me. So I'll shut up now. I want.
No, I love hearing that. And that's, you know,
you're fortunate.
I know. I got really lucky. They've been really great to work with so far. And they've really tried to honor. They check in with me in every little thing. So, and that's, I'm blessed for that, you know. And even the second book I'm going to show you, I have already given my feedback. I wrote everything out and they're working on it, you know, to honor it, to make sure that the message that I intended is delivered and it's accurate. And so, any other, which actually, as I said that, it reminded me of something else I need to do. Sue, you reminded me. So I'm writing myself a note here. There. All right. Anything else before I share my other one?
If nobody else is going to say something, can I just say this page? The little brown girl suddenly realized that she was, I'm going to cry, I'm sorry, not so little after all. When I was her age, I needed that so desperately. I was so lost. I was so lost.
Aww.
And you just don't know what you've given kids. You just can't even begin to imagine. When I read that, I just thought, this whole book, it's beautiful. It's just beautiful.
I so appreciate it. And that's when I get to, my reward for any of this is when I get to get into the schools or wherever I may be. And I get to read, you know, to kids, and you get to have discussions, because my PowerPoint's actually short, and usually I have discussion and I have takeaways about, we talk about diversity. We talk about, you know, I have them look around. Do we have the same eye color? No. Hair color? Are we the same size? No. And how boring would that be if we all looked the same, had the same talents and thoughts? And one of the powers of being able to get in schools is not only I promote Native heritage, but I also say, hey, we all have gifts. And we also have a duty, and then I can weave it in with caring for Mother Earth. And, you know, there's a lot I can do with the book. And that's one thing I like. It's versatile in the different messages. It's layered in what I can, I guess, pass along to kids, you know, and readers, which is really great. So, all right. So I'm going to show you, no one has seen this. You are the only ones. Let's see, where's it at? So it's very rough. Let's see here. Okay. I'm going to move this over here. So my second book, well, it's not going to come out until March of 2026. There's like a 2-year span between the way it works, but, it's going to be called Mama's Song. And it is kind of a prequel to Who Am I? But I have a different illustrator and it's not exactly the same, but it's, it takes place when the little brown skin baby is born. And Big Mama is holding that baby in her arms and rocking her. And she's never felt such love before. And she's humming and she's tapping her foot and she can hear that distant drum. And it's her wish for her baby on her journey of life. And I weave in what's called the seven grandfather teachings on how to live the good life, which is Minobowatsuwin. And so this book, I feel, is going to be very powerful. I get emotional when for this book, not that I didn't for the first one, I did. And this is rough. So these are the rough sketches and the words, some of the words have changed too. I've been really working on editing. And I finally finalized it to make it come more full circle, my message. But these, I'm going to move this over here and I'm going to show you the sketches. So these will be watercolor, but this is when that little brown skin baby is born and mama's holding her and she's born during May, which is the budding moon. And mama's, you know, breathing in that sweet baby scent and thanking the creator for such a gift. And, you know, her love runs deep like a river. And so mama is starting to hum and she's tapping her foot. And this is her wish for her, you know, on your journey, my little one, let our sacred teachings guide you. Walk the footsteps of our ancestors and you will live the good life. And so I'm weaving in, be wise like Umik, the beaver. Use your gifts to care for yourself and to provide for others. You know, be loving like Megizzi, the eagle, my little one. Love all of creation, from the little fish who swim to the sweet grass in the slough. We are all connected. And this picture, I love the buffalo. Be respectful like Mushkade Bijikwe. Give of yourself without expecting gifts in return. Help whenever you can. Be courageous like Mukwa, the bear, my little one. Protect the weak and have the courage to fight, even when the fight is hard. So this is the page that will be changing a lot. I love my illustrator, but I'm very honest too. And I relay that this is, I love Chewbacca and I love Star Wars, but it would, so this, it's going to be, the face will not be shown. It's going to be an almost like a shadow. Yeah. And I want Sabe to be very muscular and not like a Chewbacca. So this will change, but be honest, like Sabe, the Bigfoot, stand firm and walk tall, stay true to your word and carry yourself with integrity. And this page two will change because it looks like a fox. It's cute, but it has to be a wolf because that's the grandfather teaching. So I go back and forth. I've written all this down, what I want, right? So be humble, like Maingan, the wolf, my little one. Care for those around you. Consider others and know your place in the world, which is cool about wolves, right? They know their place. And when they travel, there's a certain order to them as well. Be truthful, like Miknuk, the turtle. Take your time. Understand the purpose of your journey and of your destination. And this, oh, before I show you this one, this next picture, when I saw it, I cried because I knew my illustrator understood the message. This is how I knew she did. And she was very nervous. She's very well seasoned, but she wanted to be true culturally and she was worried that she wouldn't get it right. But when I saw this picture, I actually modified my words a bit to meet the picture. And that doesn't happen. So these words have changed, but originally I wrote as Big Brown Mama gazed into her baby's eyes, she saw her own mother smiling down on her. Her Big Brown Mama held her close and breathed in the sweet baby scent. Her heart awakened. Her love ran deep as a river. Now I changed it. It's more of the ancestors. It's everyone coming together. And so I don't even have the final copy, but I changed it so that it's more generational and the ancestors are coming together. Hearts are awakening and they sing together. And Big Mama realizes that they hold her close, but they lift her up. So it's very powerful, this picture to me. And it really summarizes everything. And then it just circles back around. This picture is going to change too. But then this one, it repeats. And it has the seven grandfather teachings in it. And then I, in the appendix, I go through what each of the teachings means. And then I had consulted with the Bay Mills cultural language educator, Gray Shea, and she helped me with the double vowel system for the Ojibwe, because it can get very confusing. So that's, no one has seen this. You guys are the first to see that. So okay. I'm really excited, and they're going to be watercolors. So it's going to be pretty cool.
I can't wait for that book to come out. Oh my gosh.
I can't wait.
This one to so many people with new babies. This is going to be the book that I will be.
Well, I am absolutely honored. And it's been, you know, it's been such a journey for me as a person, really, where I'm learning a lot about myself. And I'm learning about who I am even as a writer and how I work. And I notice, and maybe all of you are like this too, I don't know, because I'm kind of new and I don't talk to a lot of writers so much, but a lot of times the stories are, I'm writing them now. And then by the time I sit down, they're going to come out, right? So I'm already thinking, like the third book, I already know, like, oh, Sue, Tom's not around, is he? Is Tom around?
No, he's not. He's not. He was so sad. He had a meeting in the soup.
No, I'll tell you why. So my third book is going to be the little brown skin girl. This is my idea. And I was very close with my grandfather. So I am merging my grandfather's character and Tom. It's going to be something about the little girl and her grandfather. And I don't know how I'm going to do it yet, but I have traces of Tom and I have traces of my own grandfather, and I don't know what it'll look like, but I know it'll come to me eventually. So that will be one of them eventually. So
wonderful. Oh, that'll please him to no end.
I love Tom. I love him with all my heart. He's my dear buddy. So does everyone on here write? Like, is everyone a writer in this group?
Yeah.
On some level? That's so nice. So where do I, if I just type in everyone's name, would I see something then? Or is there?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay. Well, I have to tell you how I learned about this. I think this group, is it Mike?
Yeah, Michael.
Michael. So I have to tell you, Tom and I met Mike at the Blueberry Festival. A couple of years ago, and Mike told me, and I'm like, Mike, I want to join. In fact, that'll be on my next thing. But he was talking about the group, and I'm like, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's a fun group. It's so
wonderful. And how many people belong to this organization?
About 120 now, which is our peak.
It'll be 121. I'm going to be online.
I'd love to have you. And if you can come in, Marquette, I know it doesn't work with everyone's schedule, but it's Saturday, May 17th, 2025.
Okay. Well, good. We'll celebrate my birthday. It's on the 14th. So.
Oh, nice.
My 53rd. So we'll have a good meal then. No, I'm just kidding.
I have another question. Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention, Julie, I don't know if you know, but all of these are recorded, these sessions with authors, and they go on YouTube. So they're open to the world.
They do? Oh, good Lord.
So I think you might want to, no, you did great, but you might want to have talk with Victor if you want to have the stories that are coming up in the second, third book, you may want to have edited out so you're not showing the world your draft drawing. Yeah.
I wonder contractually. I guess I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Sure, I would publish your on that.
Okay, they've been really good. Like, you know, when I promote, you know what I learned too, you guys. So since I'm on, I ordered a big sign like for my vending table before my Who Am I came out. I had little business cards done up with a QR code with my website and everything. And when it would come out and I linked everything, But then I ordered off of Vistaprint. I don't work for Vistaprint, but like this, almost like a screen that you would pull up. It was just a small tabletop one. And I had a QR code that would take them to where they could order it, pre-order it. And that was really, it worked really well for pre-orders and to kind of spread the word. So I will be doing that again.
Wow, that's a great idea. Well, I was just simply going to say, you're going to be 50 something next May.
50.
Why do you look like you're 30 something? And
oh my God,
to the rest of us.
I don't. That's so nice. That's so nice of you. But
that's true.
I don't know about that, but
it's not really a native thing, but the guilt thing. But you might be.
Well, thank you. My mom looks pretty young, I would say. I think my mom looks pretty young, and I don't know. When I do dye my hair, though, I don't know at what point I'm actually getting ready where I'm like, man, I love white and silver hair. I do. I love it. So I got to figure out at what point I can do that. I mean, I guess I could whenever, right? But
yes,
I have not yet. That'll be very freeing, I think.
Sometimes you can just let it go. And then the first time they card you for over 65, you die again. That's what I did.
And you get the AARP, which I remember getting the AARP. I'm like, gosh. Yeah, I know. Are there any other questions or anything? I mean, I've sure enjoyed my time. And thank you so much for having me. And I can't wait to explore what you guys have written. So. And I wish I would have been able to attend other of these. I've been too busy vending this year. I vend a lot. Lots of farmers markets and artisans markets, but it's okay. Thanks,
Julie, it was really a joy to have you. And when the weather gets cold, we'll still be doing this in December and January.
Well, I'm going to try and join this group. So, I mean, I am going to join, and I really would love to be more involved. So. Very good discussion. I really enjoyed it. So thank you.
Great.
Yes, wonderful.
Yep. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Miigwech and Bama P, which is until I see you again. And I look forward to seeing you all in the future.
You've been watching the UP Notable Books Club, brought to you by the Upper Peninsula Publisher and Authors Association. To join or for more information, please visit us at www.upa.org. or www.upnotable.com.